Arriving where? Here. Arriving when? Now. Arriving in the here and now of this very moment, this very mind moment. So we're not controlling what arises, but rather we are arriving in such a way that we can be present for what is arising. There's a choice to be willing to be present. This is such a wholesome choice, and it's often overlooked. Notice your own sincerity of willingness to be mindfully present. That sincerity is wholesome. At some point, you feel yourself established in mindfulness, not perfectly, but to the degree that you know you are present, that you can be present for one moment and then another. There will be breaks maybe, or it's uneven in how clear it is, or there's can be competing things going on, but nonetheless, mindfulness is established at a beginning point. So one recognizes mindfulness. You can say it to yourself. Mindfulness is present. May mindfulness be continuous. And one starts to feel this continuity of mindfulness in a way that one realizes that being present has been established. You are present for your experience. You are mindfully present. And that is what we're valuing. Being available to respond with wisdom and compassion to this moment. Then what arises matters so much less than this established feeling of relating to the moment. So this term availability, mindfully present, you are available to relate to the moment. Available is like this. Being available is like this. Being available concentrates the mind, it collects and unifies it without needing a specific object, because we're not yet at sense objects. We're at our own attitude, our own intention, and our own aligning and so forth that we're doing. And it collects the mind. That's why it's such good prep for a satipatthana, for the four foundations of mindfulness. There is a felt sense to being available. Just note that felt sense. It is this felt sense that we will employ in knowing what arises in the mind heart. This is the Buddha's direct knowing, intuitive knowing, as he describes insight practice. At some point, you realize that being available can bring up all sorts of things that may not be in harmony right now, or not that there's a vulnerability with you around of available, or that you can get a little trippy around available. And so we discover the natural need to align the mind with something that helps keep it in a wholesome place, in an inspired place, something that protects the mind from, when it opens to more subtle levels, getting itself distracted or involved in unwholesome ways. And so we align. We've arrived, we've become available, and now we align. And with what do we align? In the Buddhist tradition, with the Eightfold Path, with the Four Noble Truths, with Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, with the Brahma Viharas, or just one of the Brahma Viharas, loving kindness, metta, or karuna, compassion, or just the Buddha, or just the Dhamma. Or just a few of the parts, folds of the Eightfold Path. For myself, I align with wise view and wise intention. Wise view is my aspiration. Wise intention is my commitment to being here in this moment that reflects my wise intention. Again, you can try on different things to align with, but settle on one for this evening. You could have your own words, a kind presence. I'm aligning with kind presence. Or something similar. Feels so good to align. It makes it impersonal. You have the whole of the Dhamma supporting you. You're having a very personal experience of that which is impersonal. Again, there arises a felt sense that you actually are aligned, and you can feel yourself both available and aligned, or aligned and available. Sometimes one is more predominant than the other. Such an authentic moment. So satisfying, this aligned, available. The heart is satisfied. If it seems wise, skillful, you can stay right here and not turn to objects as we do so. Please feel free that you can do that. And if so, then the words that I will give just flow over like rocks, water rolling over rocks. For those who wish to turn on, we turn to know the body, this physical body, the body of the first Satipatthana of the Buddha's instruction. Noticing the body as a whole. And its form. And its materiality. Noticing the body as sensations. Being present for, available for, knowing this body without judging it or comparing it or fixing it. The body feels like this. The emphasis for this evening is on the continuity of the mindfulness. You have a consciousness of the body. You are aware of the body. Notice that there is a mental cognition. Yes, I'm aware of body sensations. I'm aware of body as form. And so forth. Mentally cognizing, this is what is arising as experience in the mind. Again, you're not fixing anything, not comparing anything, not judging. You're interested in this truth that you can be mentally aware of your body experience. And you don't have to have a view or an opinion about it. It's that you know the awareness that's knowing. And now, more subtle in some ways, notice that there's mindfulness, not just in a mental way of recognizing, cognizing, but the body is a felt sense experience. You know if the body's warm or cool. You can feel the warm. You can feel the cool. You can know if the body is still or moving. You know what it feels like. If the body's a little chilled, there's a felt sense, not just the mental recognition, but in addition, or sometimes almost supplanting the mental recognition. The mental recognition can be just a touch of that, and so much a present for the felt experience. With this kind of continuity of presence, both for the mental recognizing, the cognizing, and the felt sense, you can start to relate to the experience directly. Feeling the body is like this. Feeling various sensations in the body is like this. Feeling fatigue is like this. Feeling a kind of energy in the body is like this. The mindfulness leads to this sense of direct knowing through this combination of cognizing and the felt sense. So at this level, you both know there is a body, and you know that you're knowing there is a body. Just observe for yourself. Here's the feeling of the physical body. In whatever form it takes. And then here is this knowing that you're knowing the physical body. This knowing that you're knowing is so satisfying. This capacity of knowing that you know, this innate awareness, it allows us to have space around our experience. Wholesome space. When we're able to leave our experience alone, not be reacting to it, then we have the capacity to relate with wisdom and compassion to our body, or to our emotional body, or to our vital body. This is the natural state. But because of the second noble truth in our tanha, our thirst, our clinging, our attachment, our grasping, our relatedness starts to become reactive because there's dukkha, a kind of dissatisfaction, a kind of unease, an unsatisfactoriness, a physical pain, an emotional pain. All from the first noble truth. And then the second noble truth, if we aren't alert, we get reactive. So rather than experiencing a knee pain or fatigue or being a little chilled as unpleasant, but just unpleasant, or concerning, but just concerning, we go into reactiveness where we don't like it. We start to have this kind of series of unskillful ways of relating, which we'll hear more about. Just with the physical body, and all this can be seen. So then we can judge how we are doing this in a way that's not skillful, and then create more dukkha. Practice is just practice. Doesn't need to be judged. One discerns, but one does not judge. One discerns and not compare, but they can seem to be the same. Maybe you get little seconds of really, oh, I'm just present in a knowing way. Or maybe it's too quick for that. It's like a one single second. It's like you can feel it flickering, but you can't quite arrive in it. That's perfectly okay. What we discover is if we are aligned and available, even if the body is ill in some way, we can simply be with it. We don't have to make up a story. We don't have to fall into worrying. Again, discernment is present. So if we need some sort of help from a doctor or a clinic or going to the drugstore, we do that, or taking out of our medicine cabinet. We do that because that's wisdom and that's compassion. Just as in the emotional body, when someone has hurt our feelings in some way, or we've had a disappointment of something we wanted that we're not going to receive, or we can no longer do something that we love to do. In the very same way, when we're available, aligned, available, we can have a wise relationship with disappointment, emotional pain. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be some non-attached person. We can have our preferences. And yet, see, preferences is just naturally arising and not reifying preference. Not thinking, oh, if I just get this preference, then I'll be so happy. It'll be such a relief. We know that things come and go. The truth of anicca. If it's not one thing, it'll be two others. If it's not now, it's later. And so we take the felt sense of emotional dukkha of any kind, and we have that same way of relating to it. And it's deliberate because we know what's a wise, caring way, kind way to relate to emotional distress, to be present for it from this larger attitude that we've established, this larger aspiration. So kindness is just kind. Recognizing that there is distress, we are kind as we're able to be. We discern what's wise. Maybe we can self-comfort through the Dhamma or through just the ways we know to self-soothe, but maybe we need a friend or to read something inspirational or to meditate on the Buddha's qualities and on his possibilities. The knowing that there is emotional distress, that the emotional body has its distress. From the point of knowing rather than from the point of the narrative, we know we are experiencing the emotional body in distress. So our perspective is from the knowing, this capacity of knowing, rather than from the reactivity of the emotional body in distress. Because this awareness does not go to distress. It's not like that. From this knowing perspective, sitting in the knowing, as we turn to all of our experience, we start to have more space around it. See this for yourself. It's in this spaciousness, in this space, there's room for a wiser relatedness, a kinder relatedness, a non-reactive relatedness. Each of us already have this capacity. Each has this capacity. But it's not our habit. Our habit is to notice that which is discomforting in some way, and some way is dukkha, and to get reactive. We are relating in that reactiveness. but it leads to grasping, to clinging, to wanting. Everyone knows this. You may not have said it in this way, but you're aware of yourself. The world is made up of experience of dukkha and sukha, and sometimes dukkha and sukha together. Why would we go chasing that? Why would we chase after something that's always going to change? Why would we not relate in a more wholesome way from our values, our deepest values, our core values, which we're aligned with? Thus, we are available for experience. Without being dominated by the pleasant and unpleasant. Not being dominated by wanting mind. Not dominated by our ambition. So easy to not recognize ambition. So easy to just miss it. And yet that is the point of the suffering, is our ambition. We have ambition to not have back pain. We have ambition for the mind to be calm. It's okay to have a preference. But if the mind right now is not calm, it's not calm. A mind that's not calm is like this. Knowing through the knowing, feeling the experience from this perspective of knowing it rather than being enmeshed in it. Your heart is so responsive. But we so get in the way of that responsiveness with our quick reactivity. It's not that we're going to change it all at once. It's that we have the direction to go. We know our aspiration. Just as we are. Just as we are. Just as you are. With all your conditions. As we distinguish knowing there is a physical body, and distinguish we know there is an emotional body of consciousness, these two types of consciousness, these two aspects of consciousness, two dimensions of consciousness, can hold us in such good stead. Soon we will be entering the holiday season where we have to endure an election. Utilizing this kind of practice so that as we get caught in the turmoil of this world right now that's in such disarray, we have some way to come back to ourselves. That's renewing, that's skillfully relating. Aligned and available, we know our experience from the perspective of the knowing that we know it, rather than from the soap opera of it. This does not diminish caring. It makes for a compassionate caring.